One of the things I believe that the Lord impressed me with when I was down there in Oklahoma and in Branson, basically, what are you going to do about healing? What are you going to do about the healing ministry? What are you going to do about it? Well, I tell you what I'm going to do about it. I'm going to do something about it starting tonight. Amen. Amen. We're going to teach on it. We're going to preach on it. We're going to lay hands on the sick. Amen. Yes. We're going to speak the word of life over people's life. You know, when you're in ministry for almost 50 years now, there's some things that in yesteryear and in yesterdecade were very, very clear. And over the process of time, it's easy to let some of those things slip. We're a healing ministry. Don't misunderstand me. But I believe that God specifically would have us center in on that. Specifically, what I believe the Lord's ministered to me along those lines. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Vision is really, really important. If you have a vision, you must rehearse the vision. You must talk about the vision. And you must speak your vision. Whatever God has placed in your heart, He has placed in your heart for a divine purpose. God never does things or speaks things without purpose. He does not do things accidentally. Amen. On the inside of you is divine purpose. On the inside of you, there is vision. So I say that to say this, it's important for us to rehearse our vision. Yeah. Amen? Let's turn in our Bibles tonight to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. Amen? Father, thank you for the word of God tonight. Thank you for the moving of the Holy Ghost. Wow. We are so thankful that we're in a word church, but we're also in a Holy Ghost church. For it is the word of God and it is the spirit of God that always agree with one another. We give honor to you, Master. We give place to the spirit of the living God in this house. Thank you, Lord. We sang about miracles. We sang about signs. We sang about wonders. And we thank you for greater manifestations of your glory in this house, in this place, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1, he said, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." Amen. The Apostle Paul was called to declare the testimony of God. And you know something about Paul? He was very educated. But Paul was not depending on his education. He said in verse 2, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." That's good, isn't it? In other words, Paul is saying, that's all I have on my mind. I've got Him on my mind. He also said in Philippians that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. I love it. Verse 3, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." He said, "I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." How many of you know in the flesh we're not enough? Understand this, that He was ministering to the city, to the church at Corinth. And Corinth was the Las Vegas of that day. It was filled with idol worship. It was filled with demonic forces. And here is Paul coming to them with a fresh word from heaven. And I want you to notice verse 4. Let's read it together. Ready, read. "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." So we could get from that that Paul was not counting on his eloquent speech to convince them. He was counting on the Lord to show up. He was counting on him to demonstrate himself and to show himself strong in their midst. Now notice, in the same context of verse 5, he says, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but your faith should stand in what? And that's what we want to talk to you a little while tonight, is faith in the power of God. Amen. Paul was not interested in them being all impressed with him and how smart he was. That is our desire, to have Jesus on the throne of everything we do. Say it with me, faith in the power of God. And he didn't mess around with this church at Corinth. I mean, he addressed them head on. Paul was very bold. He said over there, I believe in Romans 1:16, he says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. And he said, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. So the Corinthians, you know, they were used to all these high-sounding platitudes and these words. But Paul came along with the raw gospel, the good news that would literally change their lives. And he addressed them. He told them that they were puffed up. In 1 Corinthians 4:18, he says, now some of you are puffed up as though I would not come to you. The Amplified says, some of you have become conceited and arrogant and pretentious, counting on me not coming to you. But in verse 19, he says, but I will come to you shortly if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them that are puffed up, but of the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but it is in power. Amen. Glory to God. The Message says it this way, but I'll be there sooner than you think, God willing, and then we'll see if they're full of anything but hot air. God's way is not a matter of mere talk, but it is an empowered life. Glory to God. Right into the church of Thessalonica, he said, for our gospel came not to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost. And in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Glory to God. I love the Apostle Paul's boldness. I love his tenacity. He addressed young Timothy, his son in the faith, in 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5. He said, this know, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Well, we're there right now, right? For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. And it goes on. But the bottom line, here's what he says in verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And what did he say? From such, become real close to. No, he says, from such, turn away. In other words, Paul is saying, don't hook up with them. Don't hook up with them. You see, folks get so used to deadness. How many of you would like to have your church be bumped up in the anointing, in the power, in the glory of God? But some people are so seeped in their religion that at a certain time, if the message isn't done, they're checked out. A lot of people are checked out even when they're sitting here. I'm not calling any names. But it does happen in the local church. It's because there's no power. There's no life. Now, if you want the gospel message to affect you, you need to be diligent about paying attention to what the Holy Spirit is trying to say to you. We shouldn't be thinking about, oh yeah, this person needs to hear it. My wife sure needs to hear it. But what about you? Amen? It's so important that we just don't allow ourselves to go through the motions because we've been Christians and we've been in church for decades. It's not about being in church. It's about being the church. The church of the living God. Not the church of the dead God. Not the church of religiosity. The church of the true, living, all-powerful God. Amen. So Paul, I believe Paul had it right. He said, from such, turn away. We do not want to be heady around here. We don't want to be so intellectual. But you and I, we want a taste of the powers of the world to come. We want a taste, as the psalmist said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Woo, glory to God. How many of you tasted some good food today? Brenda made some tomato soup. I'm telling you what, it was so good. Glory to God. I tasted and I know it was good. Well, how much more is the Lord good? How much more is His presence good? We ought to be tasting. We ought to be hungry of the powers of the world to come here and now. Oh, there's greater things in store. I said there's greater things in store. Jesus Himself is standing at the door. Amen. But before He comes back in a cloud of glory, the manifestation of His glory is going to be bumped up in the earth. Amen. Glory to God. So we need to be hungry. Hungry and taste and see that the Lord is good. What you and I want is we want to see happen in our lives, in our churches, what Jesus had when He walked the earth. And the argument comes sometimes, yeah, but He was God. Well, He was God manifest in the flesh, but we need to understand He stripped Himself of all of His divine privileges and He became a man. And became obedient to the death of the cross. Yeah. Amen? So if Jesus did all these miracles, raising the dead, healing the sick, if He did all those miracles simply because He was God, He would not have needed to be anointed. Did Jesus need to be anointed?
Yes.
In Acts 10:38, it says this, how God anointed. He anointed Jesus of Nazareth with what? He anointed Him with the Holy Ghost and power. And what did He do with the Holy Ghost and power? He went about doing good. And then it tells us in the rest of the verse, some of the good that He went about and did.
Yeah, yeah.
He went about doing good. He was a do-gooder. And notice with me, it does not say He went about doing bad and making people sick. No, He went about doing good and healing.
Yes.
All that were oppressed of the devil. Why? For God was with Him. Oh, thank God. Thank God. He was anointed with the Holy Ghost and power. Amen? And did you know this? He's still anointing people today?
Yes.
I thought I'd get a bigger amen on that. He's still anointing people today. He's still anointing sons and daughters who are willing, hallelujah, to have His complete will to be done in their lives. Oh, pray this with me. Thy kingdom come. Your will be done. Your will be done in my life. Now notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 21. I want you to read this with me. It says, now He which establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God. He has anointed you.
Yes, He has.
He hasn't. Do you believe it?
Amen. Ooh. Yes.
Put your hand over your heart and say, He has.
He has.
He has anointed me.
He has anointed me.
Even as Jesus was anointed, I have been anointed.
Anointed.
Anointed. You don't have to try to be anointed. You are already anointed. God says you're anointed. And you know what? I'm agreeing with him. I call you anointed. I say on a regular basis, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Oh, glory to God. He put the same anointing in us that was on Jesus. And you can see the anointing. You can see the power of God flowing all throughout the book of Acts. The dead were raised, were they not? The lame walked. The apostle Paul himself flowed in the anointing. In Acts chapter 19, verse 11 and 12, it says this, "And God worked special miracle by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them." Now, we have prayer cloths over here. And you know what? The apostle Paul was so anointed that they brought to him cloths, things like this. And they put it on his body. It would be like what was in him came in this cloth. And this cloth was like a storage battery of the power of God. It was a storage battery for the anointing. And we have seen and heard throughout time, testimony after testimony, when hands were laid on cloths and brought to the sick one, they were healed by the power of God. Amen? Not only does the healing power of God go into that and heal people, but it also delivers them from demonic forces. Glory to God. So Paul saw this, and we're seeing it today. Why is that? Because the Master, he's not different today than he was yesterday. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, "I am the Lord, and I absolutely, positively don't change." So if you need a prayer cloth for a loved one tonight, raise your hand. Glory to God. Well, we're going to pray over these cloths. Say with me, we're having a healing service here at Heart of the Bay. Jesus is the healer. We are anointed by him. And as we lay hands on the sick, the power of God goes into bodies, goes into cloths, and sets the captives free. Ooh, glory to God. Are you ready to use your faith for that? Amen. Here's what Jesus said. He said in John 10, "Believest thou not that I'm in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he does the works." One thing about Jesus, he never ever took the credit. He gave all the glory to his Father. He said in John 5:30, "I can of my own self do nothing, but as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but I seek the will of him that sent me." Oh, I love that. He said, "Now believe me that I'm in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake." And then he went on in verse 12, he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me," you a believer tonight?
Amen.
"He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I have gone to my Father." Amen. These greater works, he's talking about manifestations of God's power and of God's goodness. The Father never intended for Jesus to be the only one flowing and operating in miracles. In verse 13 and 14, he says, "And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, I'll do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Verse 14 says, "If you shall ask anything in my name, I'm going to do it." So what he's saying now, ask, decree in the name of Jesus, and I will do it. Speaking to the lame, in the name of Jesus, rise up and be healed. I got a question for you tonight. Do you have faith in the power of God?
Yes.
In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, or chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, he says, we don't preach ourselves. It's not about us. But we preach Jesus and ourselves, your servants, for his sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in your heart to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Notice this next verse. Did you wear your shouting clothes? I know we don't have hundreds of people here tonight, but we got a people here tonight that are full of faith, full of vim, full of vigor, and full of vitality. Look at verse 7. Read it with me. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power of God may be of God and not us.
Ooh.
I like how the NIV says it. It says this, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that his all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Kenneth Wiest translation says it this way, but we have this treasure in earthenware containers in order that the super excellence of the power might be from God as a source and not from us. We have something amazing in these clay pots.
Yes, amen.
And we're not dependent on ourselves. We're not dependent on our education. We're not dependent on how much money we have in the bank. We're not dependent on what nice clothes we have or where we live. We're depending on the anointed one and his anointing. For it is the anointing that removes the burdens and destroys the yokes. Woo! Glory to God. I love it, don't you? I mean, Jesus came up out of the water. He was baptized. And then in Luke 4, he was led into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And the devil tempted him. He bombarded him again and again. He bombarded him. But thank God, Jesus resisted him. And the Holy Ghost, everyone say the Holy Ghost, came upon him. Woo, glory to God. Anyone here tonight, anyone who will mix faith with the power of God can see burdens removed and yokes destroyed. Someone said this, and I cannot improve on it. Say this with me. Faith is the fuse that sets off the power. It's the fuse. Remember Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached unto them did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. They didn't mix with faith what they heard. You can hear the word of God, but if you don't mix faith with it, there'll be no fuse going off. There'll be no power in manifestation. Amen. Say with me, the gospel is the power of God. Here's what a good friend of mine got in the spirit. He said, mix faith with the power of God and the answer will come. Mix faith with the power of God and the work will be done. In a bad situation, it's a real combination. Mix them today and blow the devil away. I like that. Mix faith with the power of God tonight. Mix faith with the anointing of God going into these claws. Amen? Aren't you glad when Jesus was tempted of the devil, he did not yield? He is our hero. Glory to God. He stood up for to read on that wonderful day when he would go into the synagogue. The Bible says it was his custom to go to synagogue. It wasn't, you know, just Rosh Hashanah. It wasn't just the trumpet of feasts. In our language would be, it wasn't just Christmas, or it wasn't just Easter.
Yeah.
The Bible says that Jesus was a regular attender at the synagogue.
Yeah.
Amen. That's a good example for us. Most people, most Christians maybe go to church maybe twice a month. And, you know, we don't want to harp on that, but it's just a fact. Most Christians, probably 2% of them tithe. It's a fact. There's been studies done that 2-3% of Christians actually tithe. Well, you know what? Somebody said, well, I don't believe in the tithe. Well, you better study the Bible. You better study the Word. Anyway, we don't want to get off on all that. We don't want to be negative. But look at all the empty chairs. Where have all the flowers gone? Long time passing. All right. I'm gonna wave my hanky here tonight. Well, I don't know whether I like this or not. Well, it's what's on the menu tonight. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me. And then He closed the book. He said, the Holy Ghost is upon me. I'm here. Mm-hmm. And the eyes of those that were in the synagogue were fastened on Him. They're fastened on Him. And He turned and He said to them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. In other words, it's happening right now. But something that was very interesting about how Jesus operated, He would always go to the Word first. Because He knew that faith would come, and if faith would come, and they'd mix faith with the Word, the power of God would be in manifestation.
Right, that's good.
Amen.
Amen.
And so, it is the same thing today. Amen?
Absolutely. Amen.
We could preach on and on, but we're going to pray here in a minute. You think about Luke chapter 6. They came to hear and to be healed. A lot of folks want to be healed, but they don't want to hear. But Jesus placed the premium on hearing the Word and then being healed. Amen. You think about the woman with the issue of blood. Remember her? The Bible says, when she heard of Jesus. When she heard of Jesus, faith came.
Yes, it did.
When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched His garment. For she said, if I may but touch His clothes, I'm going to be made whole. I'm going to get healed. If anybody going to get healed, it's going to be me. And don't you know that people tried to push her away? She pressed through the press.
Yeah, she did.
And she touched His garment.
Yes, amen.
And the scripture says that virtue went out of Him. Yeah. That word virtue is power. That word virtue has to do with the anointing. And then His disciples, you know, they were kind of on the carnal channel that day. Is it possible for a disciple to be on the carnal channel?
Yeah.
I reckon it's true. They were kind of carnal and said, Master, how do you say who touched me? Look at all these people around. And Jesus said, somebody touched me. He didn't look at this lady with the woman with the issue of blood as a nobody. He looked her as a somebody. Whoo, glory to God. And what she did, she fell down before Him and told Him all the truth. And Jesus said, be of good comfort, daughter. Thy faith has made thee whole.
Amen.
So she pressed.
She pressed.
And she took her healing. Mm-hmm. She heard, she pressed, she touched, power flowed, and she was healed. Stand up, everybody. Praise the Lord.